No matter where you are, you've either noticed or heard about the rise in homelessness, have you not? It's Texas Standard Time on this 26th day of June. I'm David Brown, and as the gap between wealthy and poor has grown in places where the cost of living is high, especially along the West Coast, cities there have been engulfed by issues related to a growing homeless population, people soliciting, sleeping, and living on public streets and in parks. But that's a West Coast thing, right? Not anymore. Texas officials see this trend hitting home and soon. While homelessness in the Lone Star State had been falling since around 2007, there's been a sharp uptick in this past year, up 7% statewide, and resources for the homeless have not caught up. In the Texas capital city, where the wealth gap has been skyrocketing, so too have the numbers of homeless, up 5% in the past year. Last week, local leaders in Austin took steps to change laws that critics say have criminalized the homeless. Supporters of changes say they're trying to head off what's happening out west and come up with a better solution before it's too late. This loosening of laws against solicitation and sleeping on public streets and in parks has prompted a pushback from the Texas governor and a bigger conversation statewide. Joining us now, Ann Kitchen, an Austin City Council member who supports the changes. Ms. Kitchen, welcome.
Thank you.
We also have Carl Falconer. He's president and CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance. Mr. Falconer, welcome.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And Latrell Joyce, she is Lubbock City Council District 6, a member, co-chair of the city's Homelessness Committee. Ms. Joy, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you.
Let's begin with what has actually happened as of last week, Ms. Kitchen. There were ordinances on the books. These have changed when it comes to issues dealing with homelessness. How so?
Public safety threats are still illegal, but just living on the street peacefully is not.
That is a rather large change here in the city of Austin. Let's move on up to Dallas. What do you see as the primary issues that the homeless face in your city, Mr. Falconer?
The lack of shelter space and therefore causing people to be out on the streets, sleeping in public, sleeping underneath overpasses, places like that. But it's really a lot of that is due to the lack of shelter spaces that we have available for individuals and affordable housing.
Ms. Joy, in Lubbock, a city of about 250,000, 260,000 people, as I understand it, what's the homelessness situation like in your city?
The situation here is, I think, better than in some cities, except we tend to have a concentration in some particular areas. However, we are focusing on enforcing the ordinances that we have, which include such things as you can stand on the corner, but you can't get out into the street to solicit. You can't trespass. We have those on the books already. We have not made any changes because this committee is about a month into its deliberations. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding here is we do have shelter space, but we also are dealing with a lot of mental health issues.
You know, this is something that comes up. I know that people who live in Los Angeles, I've seen this with my own eyes, people who live in San Francisco, they were talking about rather large cities, New York City as well. All of these cities are seeing a major increase and a rapid increase in homelessness. As local lawmakers have attempted to change these ordinances to deal with the increasing numbers and the lack of resources to help those folks, they've decriminalized certain activities, including sleeping on sidewalks and in public parks. There have been major complaints from businesses and from people who live in condominiums and in some of the areas downtown of urination and defecation, turning the streets into toilets. Why are you, Ms. Kitchen, not concerned that that will be the case in Austin?
Absolutely concerned, but that's not the issue.
Not now, but does this lead to it?
Because it's not the only thing we did. It is absolutely not the only thing we did. At the same time, we did what others are talking about, is we funded a new kind of shelter. Mm-hmm. We also decided that we were going to designate areas where it was safe for people to camp, mm-hmm. as well as a list of places that people cannot camp. You have to do all of that together. It's not one thing.
Very interesting. What do you make of that, Mr. Falconer? Do you think that that's a solution?
Yeah, one of the things that we're working on here, our new district attorney has made it very clear that he's not going to prosecute criminal trespass cases where people are homeless and mentally ill, and it's literally just a quality of life issue as a reason why they were being arrested for criminal trespass. And so right now, we're looking at several diversion programs to go along with that, to be able to keep them out of jail and to be able to keep them connected to services, or get them connected to services and get them connected to housing and long-term solutions for them.
Ms. Joy, in Lubbock there, you say that you have these ideas, these plans, but they have not changed yet. Why not? Is there local opposition to changing current ordinances?
No, we've not had any opposition. We have always worked with our homeless consortium here. Mm-hmm. We have services, and we very much are interested, as Mr. Falconer is, in permanent housing. And we have several groups that move towards the housing first philosophy, and we have been able to get many of our homeless people off the streets and into permanent housing. But it costs money, because you have to have case managers to monitor people once you put them into permanent housing, because it's a transition. They can help get them jobs, maybe more education, and certainly monitor some of the mental health issues.
So as I understand it, forgive me for interrupting, but as I understand it, you're saying this housing first philosophy, you make sure that you have the resources to deal with the homeless. And then if you believe that the ordinances need to be changed or relaxed, then you consider those steps. Is that what I understand you to be saying?
That's correct. This committee that has been active now for about a month will make recommendations to the city council at our last meeting in November.
I think many people across Texas have heard what the governor, Governor Greg Abbott, has had to say about the changes in Austin, but I feel like I need to read some of our listeners in on this. Governor Abbott tweeted earlier this week, "If Austin or any other Texas city permits camping on city streets, it will be yet another local ordinance the state of Texas will override. At some point, cities must start putting public safety and common sense first. There are far better solutions for the homeless and citizens." And then he links to critiques from California, which we were talking about a little bit earlier, and some of the experiences that people have witnessed in some of California's larger cities. Response from the city of Austin, Ms. Kitchen?
Well, I absolutely agree with the others that people need a place to live. So Austin has been focusing on over the last few years on housing, mm-hmm. And housing first shelters. So finding the places for people to live is what we have been doing. And we've also made homelessness a top priority as a city, as part of our strategic plan. It is an urgent need. People have to have a place to live. And as the other cities have mentioned, that's what we've been working on and putting into place.
But do you see this as another round between cities and state lawmakers? Governor Abbott seems to think that this is something that now may need to be regulated by the state.
Well, here's what I would say. You know, the governor and the legislature have made it harder for cities to fund the public safety and the mental health services that we've all been talking about.
How so?
Well, they have limited our funding. So in the last session, they put caps, revenue caps. And what that means is they put limits mm-hmm. on what the city can spend on public safety, on mental health.
Not on what you can spend, but what you can raise, right?
Which means that we can't spend it. You know, if we don't have the funds, we cannot address the public safety and the public health needs that we have to address homelessness. So I would say to the governor and the legislature, it's time for them to step up to the plate. They need to help cities and help the people of Texas address homelessness.
Mr. Falconer, where do you see this heading?
I think that's exactly, I agree with exactly what Ann said. And I think another good example of that is the Housing Trust Fund that is so small here in Texas. Mm-hmm. I come from a state, Florida, where they have a huge housing trust fund for the state that gives dollars out to the locales to build more affordable housing and have more programs available. And then I came here to Texas and realized that it's a very, very tiny housing trust fund that they have here for affordable housing. And so I have no problem with the state, you know, being involved in trying to help make the best use of their resources, and also to make sure that they help with public safety and security at the same time. But in the same vein, then they need to step up and they need to give us resources to be able to solve the problem, not just put a Band-Aid on it or try to arrest our way out of it.
There is so much more to this issue that deserves to be discussed, and yet our time is completely out. I want to thank all three of you for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard. Ann Kitchen, Austin City Council District 5, Carl Falconer, President and CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance, and Latrell Joy, Lubbock City Council District 6, co-chair of the city's Homelessness Committee. Thank you all for speaking with us on the Standard.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.